yes, landlubbers, this here be the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. This be an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Now this here be the main show episode, where we give our further thoughts of the amazing Once Upon a Time episode we watched last Sunday. Now, if you called in or emailed in, you might be hearing your thoughts in the podcast. So keep a ruddy eye out for it. And now, let's take a closer look at all the Once Upon a Time treasure we found. Here is Captain and First Mate of the Once Upon a Time podcast. And now, Captain, permission to come aboard?
Come aboard.
Permission granted.
That too. Come aboard. I'm so happy we're recording in stereo now.
That's nice.
A little geeking out. Okay, so this is the main show for the episode, the Once Upon a Time episode, Nasty Habits. And we are going to be talking about Bay's drawing, some possibilities of what powers the concept of aging or not aging on Neverland, how the time is different. Grinding slabs, I put on my grumpy hat, and we ask a question, is Hook a tattletale? We talk about dream catchers, or maybe one dream catcher. And in the end, we talk about getting rid of pests in Storybrooke and much more. So it's a packed show.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Aye, it's time for some Once Upon a Time news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So... Okay.
I always wanted to do the splits in the end and say, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So a little bit of news. Some of this may be spoilery, but we've always talked about when people are cast for something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Rumpelstiltskin's father has been cast.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of bringing that up. I did not jot his name down, but he's a fine actor.
I'm sure he is.
From the British Isles.
Excellent.
That charming dude who's just gets along with everybody, including the Bible Belt, Marilyn Manson. You
right.
know Marilyn Manson.
Right.
He's been cast.
Which is interesting.
Without makeup or any kind of makeup, his voice has been cast for The Shadow.
Awesome.
Not the radio show, but The Shadow. Which is interesting because we've seen a number of shadows, so which shadow?
Right, exactly.
Also, Jamie Dornan has been cast, as Christian Grey for the upcoming film 50 Shades of Grey, or as we like to call it now, 50 Shades of Graham. this is, you know, he's moved on and now starring in major motion pictures.
It's fantastic.
So, our little grandma's grown up.
Yes.
And moving on to take over Hollywood. So, now let's talk about some kind of sad news.
Mm.
The ratings.
Mm.
Nasty Habits. The viewer numbers were the lowest numbers for any Once Upon a Time episode ever at 7.05 million viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Now... You know, they're still talking about it's the best, it's the highest unscripted show, it's scripted show,
right?
That kind of a thing.
Non-sports or whatever.
But as far as viewing numbers go, just across the board, they're the lowest, even lower than the lowest previous Once Upon a Time episode, Tiny.
Right.
Which was 7.08 million
viewers. But then after that, the viewership came back up again, right?
No.
After Tiny, it didn't go back up?
Oh, yeah, yes.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
It fluctuates. It fluctuates for a lot of reasons. So, you know, folks who used to listen to us and folks who used to watch the show need to come back.
Please.
Because it's epic.
Yep. And I know things are happening and people have other focuses and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, we miss you. So we're sending out Big Love vibes to you, to reach you all over the planet. All right. This is our thoughts now, because we rewatched the episode. So what makes Felix the welcomer to Neverland, and why?
He's the head of the welcome wagon, you mean? Yeah. Apparently, I don't know how he got volunteered. Maybe he volunteered for that. Maybe he
lost a bet, drew the short straw. But he hands out little pads of paper that you can barely write anything on, and a pen, and welcome to Neverland. Welcome back to Neverland.
It'll be interesting to see his backstory. I'm hoping we get to.
Yeah. He's a great actor. That Felix person. So how long has Pan been searching for the heart of the truest believer?
I mean, he said he's been searching for a very long time, which we know he's been searching for it really long since Rumple was a boy.
Yep.
So, really long time.
So, were the others that he...
Were there others
that he thought were the truest believer, and what kind of tests did they pass? Where are they? Who are they? I mean, that would be interesting to kind of...
Yeah, how did he identify Henry as the heart of the truest believer?
Right.
How? Yeah. I mean, we know he gave him the test about the pixie dust and stuff, but how did he even know? Because the drawing, who drew that picture of Henry?
Yeah.
Was that Bay who drew that?
Well, we'll get to that. Possibly.
That's what I'm saying.
It is a possibility.
I'm just saying, whoever drew the picture, did they identify that? Did they identify that child as the heart of the truest as having the heart of the truest believer?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
possible. We'll talk about Bay's art in just a bit. So let's talk about time in Neverland. You know, some people don't like us to talk about Lost, but I'm going to bring it up briefly. Is Neverland is an island. On Lost, they had an island. And there was this plug that was keeping the evil out and the good on top. And it was protecting the light and all that kind of thing. I was thinking, is there some type of an age freezing statue item area? Is there a fountain of youth? And is it fueled or powered by belief? And that's why Pan is so focused on getting the heart of the truest believer. Because if they don't have enough belief, I mean, it kind of is reminiscent of like the Santa Claus.
Right.
Elf. If people don't believe enough in something, like for instance, Santa Claus, then his sleigh won't run.
Right.
And won't fly. And we've already seen the power of not believing as far as in fairies and that kind of a thing. So what if the power has grown weak, like magic grew weak in Storybrooke, as Emma broke the curse in different increments? So when she stayed in town, she accepted the job as deputy, became sheriff, on and on up to believing in Henry and the book and kissing him on the forehead and saying she loved Henry. Because belief wasn't as strong as it used to be, is that what's happening? Is it belief or youthful imagination? So these are all the things I was thinking about this week. What is powering this time or non-aging thing?
Yeah, that's a good question, because is it the island itself? We know that the reason why the folks that are there to rescue Henry didn't age is because they were under the curse,
which
froze time, essentially. So, is there something similar on the island?
You know, it would be interesting, and that's another story, another legend that they haven't pulled in yet, that there could be a fountain of youth, and maybe that water is almost running out.
Maybe.
So, just a thought. What do you think? I mean, us talking is...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it is. But I think that it is belief. I think that it is that whole thing of, as long as you continue to play and act like a kid, you won't grow up.
Okay. So, why didn't Neil tie Felix up after he was knocked out?
Yeah, I don't know.
By Neil. It's kind of like those old questions about, you know, why didn't the bad guy off the hero? Why did he just kind of knock him out and leave him there with the door open and all that? Why? Or why does he tell him the whole plan, that what he's going to do, so that the hero knows? I mean, Austin Powers kind of made fun of all that. But, I mean, it's a valid question.
It's a very valid question. It's like, come on, seriously, you just, you know, do this. Take care of it. And I think part of the reason why Bay didn't, or Neil didn't, tie him up is because, you know, they were boys together. Mm-hmm. They were friends at one point, I'm sure. And because of that, he's going to have a tough time. I mean, he knows he has to do what he has to do to save Henry. But at the same time, he doesn't need, you know, he even said when Rumpel talked about the, you know, they're sleeping, he goes, yeah, and they don't need, we don't need to kill Lost Boys.
Right.
So I don't think Neil's interested in hurting Lost Boys. I think Neil understands exactly what the Lost Boys are all about. And you'd think Rumpel would too, because obviously he was one at one point. But, I don't know. I just, I think that there's, you know, this struggle within, you know, Neil to say, you know, look, this was my friend at one point in time. Yeah, he's working under Pan's, you know, spell or what have you, but he doesn't need to hurt him anymore. He should have tied him up. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, even if he had, would that have done any good? That's the thing. Neil knows them better than anybody else. Would that have done any good? Felix could have gotten out of it, I'm sure.
I agree. So let's deal with the question of... And plus, Felix wasn't on the boat with Hook and didn't learn all about the knots.
Right, exactly.
So what was Bay drawing? So let's talk about that. We got some pretty cool status updates and comments on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/OUAT podcast. And so Amanda thought it may have been a ship. Mm. And Karen thought it may have been Henry, because it is tough to tell. It's just a little bit of a drawing to start.
Well, it looked like the neck and chin starting of a face. Mm-hmm. So was it Henry?
Could be. There's a couple of other.
Was it his mother? Was it his father?
Well, hold on. There's a couple of other things that came in. Brad actually had an interesting idea. He thought it might be a drawing for the book that Bay was starting.
Oh, maybe.
And I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name. Giulia had a very cool link that Robert tweeted last week, which I totally missed. And it was a drawing in that set of Rumpel. Mm. So, and it could very well possibly be, and that could be the tie-in. It's kind of neat when things kind of fill in blanks that we don't get on the show outside of that, like on Twitter.
Right.
Whatever. So, yep. It definitely could have been
Rumpelstiltskin. Any number of possibilities.
All right. Now I'm scrolling back up. All right. We did get a message that said, you know, you forgot to talk about Dylan Schmidt. And we did.
We did.
Dylan Schmidt has really come a long way. He was great already, but he's just gotten stronger as time has gone on. Yeah. So I'm impressed.
Yeah, he did a great job. He was a really great, you know, asset to the episode.
And as with other child actors, we've seen some of them not come back, like Moraine and... Mm-hmm. Paige. Who was Jefferson's daughter?
Grace.
I'm sorry. Grace. So we've seen other child actors in
Paige
the show.
Paige was her Serbic name, but yeah.
I was right. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And whoever played Hansel and Gretel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They haven't come back. So it's nice to kind of...
But that's just because of the storyline. I don't think it's any other reason. Let's be clear that we're not saying they were... Because they all did a great job.
Right. And it's just
that the characters have not come back.
Right. And it's nice to see the kind of continuing on. You know, some people had mentioned that they noticed, you know, the height difference of younger Bay. I didn't. I was trying to kind of... go with the story and go with what was going on.
Well, and we don't know how much time passed either. Right. Because remember, you know, he could have aged a couple of years and, since we saw him before. And he physically obviously has. Dylan has grown up a bit. So he's a little older than he was when he played, you know, Bay before. It's natural that he's going to age. But we don't know what time frame has passed so that, you know, it's – anyway.
So Robbie Kay is phenomenal, but also Dylan Schmidt is phenomenal well.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see I think Once Upon a Time – has probably the most stellar group of actors that some of them have been already known, but a lot of them, this is like their first big break, you know?
Right.
And I think it's a great group.
Well,
of actors.
It's their first foray into American television, I think for some of them, but the casting agents are fantastic. They're clearly doing a really good job. So, and we're getting some really, really talented folks on the show. So,
Amanda reminded us that we forgot Dylan Schmidt. So, Amanda, thanks about that. And there you go.
Yep.
Go Dylan Schmidt. We were really fortunate enough that he actually called into the podcast and
left a
voicemail message. So thanks again, Dylan, for that. So in Fairy Tale Land, Rumpel doesn't trust Bay to return if he lets him out and have freedom outside of the hovel. And Bay doesn't trust Rumpel that he has changed and won't kill Henry. So I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of this type of mirroring of personalities of father and son and that kind of a thing. And this is another thing I was thinking about this week is that we haven't – this hasn't been fully introduced, but faith, trust, and pixie dust. So, you know, belief is kind of faith. And we've seen a lot about believing in someone, even though, you know, they may not be able to do it, just believing enough, giving someone a sword and telling them that only the true leader can hold this sword is enough to make them really act like it. So belief, trust, and with the whole idea of Bay and Rumpel, the whole idea of trust, and then the five... the Neverland Five, they have to trust in each other. You know, before they may have been, for instance, an evil queen or a pirate, but now they're being trusted to help each other out.
Right.
And
right.
So trust. And then pixie dust. I don't know where you get pixie dust, but that's...
Well, you know where that comes from, right?
Pixies?
No, the song. The Peter Pan song. Right. All it takes is a little bit of faith and trust. And one thing I forgot. Oh, right. Pixie dust.
Yep. And I just wonder about thinking about a wonderful thought. Like maybe toward the end, that's the last part of it. You know, where believing in Henry, believing in the book was important for season one to break the curse. Maybe that is, you know, in the worst possible situation, thinking of a happy thought. And maybe that will be thinking of Henry for Emma. So Rumpel used a mortar and pestle to crush some type of, hopefully it wasn't dreamshade berries, but some type of berries to use the war paint.
Right.
And
it was a crude mortar and pestle, but yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I just, the only thing I remember close to it is when I was a kid, for however it happened, we owned a metate, which is a grinding slab. And it was on little four kind of legs, and it was a stone. And so, yeah, I used it, and I crushed up some corn, and I tasted it, and it tasted awful. But I crushed some what were those big corns? Corn nuts. I crushed those up, and that was tasted a lot better. So I said, we need to get corn nuts out there to folks using metates. So, all right. Did you? Because they taste better.
Crushed corn doesn't taste good?
No. No, it needs something else. It was really, it wasn't good.
Was it cooked corn?
No.
Well, that's probably why.
It was just corn.
Okay.
All right. So did you notice Regina's big smile as Tink talked about Greg's demise? It was funny. It was kind of like, you know, galactic karma had come around.
Yep.
And he got it finally after shocking me on that table.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting is the way Tink described. Wasn't much left of him.
Right.
Wow. Yep. So now I'm very curious what happened to him.
All right. Neil called Rumpel Papa. And that was the, yeah. It was kind of hard to understand the whole phrase that he said, but he did say Papa. And that's what basically snapped Rumpel out of it. And do you remember who else called Rumpel Papa? Somebody else did.
Yes. August.
That's right. When August tried to pull the old flim flam.
Right.
In season one.
Yep.
He called him Papa. And Rumpel, he kind of bought it.
At first he
did.
And
then when he turned on him, he goes, my son would never do that.
Right.
So he knew.
He knew.
That Rumpel's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And August's actual line was, well, then I guess all the lying can stop, Papa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Charming's I'm still pretty hot line, you know, apart from he's a good looking gentleman. He was proving to the group that he's still worth proving his worth to the whole group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's also kind of shunning the idea that the poison is killing him.
Right.
That's a very male kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, some ladies are upset that he has not told his wife that he's dying.
Right.
But when the most important thing is to get your son back, because if he told Snow, Snow would focus on that instead of focusing on getting Henry back.
Snow would be torn, I think.
Yeah.
Honestly, because she'd want to work with Emma and try to get Henry back, but at the same time, she'd be worried about him. And it would be a really difficult position to put her in. On the flip side, like, for example, my family, I love my family to death, but there have been a number of times in my life where, especially as an adult, obviously not as a kid, but as an adult, where I'll call and, you know, my mom will say, oh, yeah, did you know your sister was in the hospital? No, what happened? Oh, well, she had this little brief little operation or whatever. I had no idea. Or did your dad got out of the hospital? No, because you guys didn't tell me. And it's always after the fact.
Right.
And I've said to them 1,000 times, please don't do that to me. Let me know when it happens so that I can at least be, you know, aware of what's going on. I can handle it. You're not going to upset me. I mean, yeah, I'm going to be upset because I'm going to worry. But at the same time, you're upsetting me more by not telling me right away. So I understand how how he feels, but at the same time, I get why, you know, he doesn't want to tell her, but at the same time, I know that if I were in her shoes, I'd be really mad.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a sticky wicket, no matter how you play it. So anyway.
All right. I got to put on my grumpy hat.
All right.
Fine. It makes me who I am. It makes me grumpy.
Okay. So the Neverland 5 is a magical savior. A pirate that once lived on Neverland. Well, at least he knows all the plants on Neverland for sure. An evil queen that could magify a map.
Magify?
Magify.
What the heck is that?
She magically changed a map.
Okay, that's not a word. I'm just letting you know. Magify.
Wow. My grandmother came up with words.
It would be magicify, not magify. Magify is wise men. So he's going to wise men the map.
She magicified a map.
Okay, there you go. If you're going to make up a word.
And the map led them to where the Lost Boy camp was, or at least where Pan was.
Right. You have a shepherd.
Right.
And you have a warrior princess.
Right. And yet, they cannot find Henry.
Right.
But a guy drops out of the sky who hitched a ride on a shadow, found not only his father. Then
that was purely by accident, though.
Right. And then he rescued his son, tricked his father, froze him, and got away. And these five, the Neverland 5, cannot find Henry? Really? That's bizarre.
Well, but here's you made a point. Let's face facts. Bay lived on Neverland. It wasn't like he just went and visited and managed to find his way there and got kicked off. He lived there for a while.
But they Neverland 5 plus 1, they got Tink. Okay, Tink had been there for 10 minutes.
But Tink's got a point. Tink's being smart about it. Because look what happened with Bay. He found him, he rescued him, and he tricked Daddy, and then he got tricked himself and lost him again.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. I call Rumpel Daddy Dark One.
Yeah.
That's my hashtag, Daddy Dark One.
All right.
Thank you.
But the point is that Neil, and I switched back and forth between calling him Neil and Bay, but anyway, he had him, and then he went to go find Emma.
Yeah, call him Bay Eel. Okay, so we're going to move along here. A number of folks reminded us that the P and the S on the cave walls represented the port and starboard side.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
That we were seeing if you were listening, and you passed the test. So now we're pretty worked up about.
But I do still think that there's it's too much of a coincidence to be. You know, the Lord of the Flies, Piggy and Simon were the two boys that were killed. So I'm just saying that's an interesting little happy coincidence of sorts.
Eddie and Adam, you got a phone. You can call our voicemail line. Thank you. All right. So I noticed that neglected, unwanted, lost boys. Why no girls? I don't know that.
Yeah.
That heard Pan's flute from the forest lived in homes. So they lived in some type of a family situation, I would think.
Right. But they felt unloved, felt neglected, which is funny if you think about it. Okay. So these boys feel unloved, feel neglected. But the family, when Rumpel pulls into town there, the families are all standing in the center of town trying to figure out how to go get them back, how to go hunt for them.
Right.
So they're not unloved. They're not unwanted. They were made to feel that way.
Yep.
So did they feel that way themselves? Or, you know, what prompted that? Was there something that, you know, told them they were unloved or neglected?
We shall see. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your knife or dagger theory.
Yeah. So, okay, remember in the episode where Henry and Peter fly off the cliff and they end up landing in that little, you know, grove, that little open spot. And then he reveals that he is Peter Pan himself and he pulls out a dagger. It's a really short, quick spot. It's very hard to see, but if you watch it enough, it looks very much like Rumpel's dagger. I know it's not Rumpel's dagger, but it looks like Rumpel's dagger. So my thought was, what happens if there's actually two Dark One daggers? So we know Rumpel has his. This one looks exactly like that one.
Right.
And what happens if that's how Peter is the Pan? So if you kill Peter Pan with that dagger, do you become the Pan? Just like the Dark One?
It's a good point. And once we found out that he was immortal, I mean, that was the first thing I was thinking.
Exactly. So. How did he get that way? And he even said, Rumpel even said, he wasn't always.
Right, right.
So there has to be a storyline behind how he got to be the Pan.
Yep. You know,
and I'm my money's on the dagger.
Yeah. Some people are really kind of getting tired of the Neverland location. I love it. I love it a lot better than season two. Yep. And I love the way that we're kind of unrolling this. And then the more they unroll, you go, well, I'm interested in that. For instance, I want to know more about Pan and Rumpel when they were younger growing up. I want to know what happened to Pan. I want to know about the whole aging thing on the island. So there's more things I want to know about, which keeps me coming
back. There's mysteries, So that we want to solve.
Anyway, good job again, guys, on season three. Good job. So we need to move along here. Mm-hmm. But so what I thought was interesting is Bay and Neil predicted the future correctly. you know, Bay told Rumpel all he needed is one shot and he would rescue Henry, and he actually did that.
Right, which made it sound like he was going to try and kill him, which he did not.
Right.
He didn't need to kill him. That was the whole point.
And then Rumpel told Bay that without Rumpel's power in the forest, Pan would capture him and Henry, and he did.
And he did.
So it's, yeah, so.
Again, they know each other very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, how well?
Pan and Rumpel, you mean?
Yeah, because the comment was real family reunion.
Right.
Right? And so, is that because Pan and Rumpel are related? Are they brothers?
Some folks have written in and suggested that, so we'll... Yeah.
It's very viable. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. I think it's very viable that they're brothers.
And, you know, I'll agree with that because they're very similar in personality. They manipulate.
Which doesn't necessarily mean brothers, because if you look at a lot of brothers, they're very different. So, but I think that it's a very real possibility in spite of that fact.
Okay, I'll slide this card on the table and then we'll move on. As Hook said, the key to being a pirate is secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder how that's going to come into play. Also, one other thing to kind of remember is the whole line about when you break into a place, you always have an escape plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where's that going to fit in? So a lot of times I'll just kind of throw things out there to remind us that, okay, we can't forget that, because as things progress, we need to keep that in our mind.
Right.
Aye, Captain. I see some email coming our way.
All right. This is from Holly, and she actually agrees with us. She wants to know the backstory behind the rift of Pan and Rumpel.
Mm-hmm.
And she also kind of did allude to the fact that manipulating tactics of Pan has rubbed off on Rumpel.
Yeah, and did Rumpel learn from Pan?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And maybe the prophecy of the boy that's Rumpel's undoing is maybe Pan himself. And
that's that, we've said that before. I mean, I thought it originally it could have been August, because especially when he got turned back into a little boy, Pinocchio, I thought that was like, oh, he may be the undoing, which now, of course, it's very possible that it's actually Pan or another lost boy. We don't know.
Yeah.
Could be anybody. We're assuming it's Henry, because he's assuming it's Henry, but something tells me it's not going to be Henry.
It is tough. It's almost like spinning one of those wheels, you know, and you put all the different characters' name on there. Okay, the child to be his undoing is this one, because it's tough.
Yeah.
So, okay. Is Hook a tattletale? And I actually thought this, but we got this email from Holly, and I think also somebody else mentioned it as well. Is Hook going to tell Snow? Because he keeps bothering David, or Charming, look, you better tell her. You have to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
This is important.
Right.
It could be days. I don't know how long you've got.
Right. So interestingly enough, what I just thought about before the email, we started the email section, is that, you know, the key to piracy is secrecy, right?
Right.
Oh, okay. David's becoming a little bit of a pirate himself, isn't he?
Yep. Very
Won't
good.
That be interesting to see what happens with that? Will he become another pirate?
Possibly. All right. Thanks, Holly. This is from Katie from Florida. And she was bringing up the fact that the poison maybe making people go crazy, like Danielle and the crew and Claire on Lost.
Oh, right.
And that's a viable thing. I've heard a little snippet, possibly a rumor, of which I'm not going to say, for tomorrow's episode, Good Form, that may play into that. So I'm not going to say that, but I'm just saying it is possible.
Yeah. Who knows? Because, you know, there are a number of things that can give you hallucinations and make you think you're seeing things you're not. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Because like you said, what Hook used on his hook to kill the Dark One was a watered-down version of Dreamshade.
Right.
And more than likely, Charming got a full-blown...
He's gotten full dose,
100%. So.
Or has he?
No.
Again, imagination. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm assuming he has, but, you know, anything's possible at this point.
All right. Katie also brought up the fact of Pied Pipers or music calling children, mm-hmm. like the Lost Boys that Pan used.
Right.
Was Hocus Pocus. They had a song.
Yes, Sarah Jessica Parker sang Come Little Children,
yep.
Come Unto Me. Oh, yeah. And that made them, you know, kind of zombify them and put them in a trance. And that was how they sucked their souls out.
Yep. I was thinking of a joke about a number of people who are popular in music today, and I won't say any of them.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
All right. So Charmed, they also had an ice cream truck song that drew the demon children to it, and they got sucked in.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Another use of songs. All right. So she brought up, Katie brought up a great point about the drawings on the walls of Bay's home. Reminded her of Lost, because in Lost there was a cave and they had names on right. the ceiling, most of it.
Right.
But yeah, very, very similar. Very and much. Also in the Vampire Diaries, you saw the names of the original family of vampires. So
oh, interesting.
You know, and also it's a kind of a callback to the old cave dwelling drawings back in the caveman days. You know, they would draw right. things to kind of remember or to, you know, explain to those who came after. And so it's interesting that they kind of used it as a clue, or at least they kind of did. I guess they kind of dismissed it all. Well, what does this all mean? I don't know. It's, right. It looks the swirling vortex right. and whatever.
Right.
So, all right. Yeah, all the Lost Boys except for Felix and Peter Pan danced around the fire.
That's right.
Why didn't Felix dance?
And that's the thing. I mean, he was walking up at that point in time. So he hadn't heard. Well, I guess he would have. Because Peter wasn't playing the song at that point in time.
Well, there was a lot of dancing that happened around that song being played.
Right.
So it was kind of like they were.
But he was talking to Henry while they
true.
Were doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, that's when. Felix walked up. So is it that he didn't hear it and so it didn't trance him like everybody else? He'd walked up after the fact that Peter had already played? Or is he immune to it somehow?
And that was, I think Nat, that's what she mentioned to me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, he's immune to it. He can't hear it. He's not dancing. So, you know, I'll be interested to find out
what's
why.
His story.
Right.
What is his story? That's what right. we need to know, is what is his story?
Yep. And Pan as well, because Pan did not fall down in the sleeping.
Right. But again, he's immortal. So he's
okay.
He's
all
immune
right.
to that stuff, I'm sure.
Is Felix immortal?
I don't think so, because I think Felix fell down.
Okay.
Or he would have stopped. He would have stopped Bay.
All right. And she also agrees that, or she wonders if Hook's going to mention the wound on Charming to Snow. So, and she loves Regina's quotes as well. So, thanks so much, Katie, for that.
Yep.
All right. So, Alina, in her email, brings up a great point. Is Henry faking hearing the music? Did he not hear it? Did Pan not play it the first time? That kind of a thing. So, I mean, there's a lot of different schools of thought.
Right.
Maybe Henry didn't hear it at first because he still kind of had this hope, right?
Right.
Belief
right.
that someone's coming to get him. And then in the end, when Pan started mentioning things like, well, you dream about things that you've lost, things that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then that kind of, well, yeah, mm-hmm. I've lost everything. I don't have anyone coming for me. And so he just bought into it and there you go. Or is Henry playing the game, acting like he's dancing?
Right.
He's not a good dancer like me, so I'm happy about that. There's somebody that doesn't dance well. Me and the Lost Boy. I could have been a Lost Boy.
Oh, no.
Because they can't dance worth a hoot, and they're banging sticks together, jumping around the fire.
No, honey. I'm sorry. No. I'm going to have to say no.
I would never go on Soul Train.
I mean, I love you to pieces. You would never make the stage at Soul Train.
Oh, no. No, I would not. I could build the stage.
You would not even make the audience at Soul Train, unfortunately. I love you to pieces, but dancing is definitely not your strong suit.
I love Soul. Listen to Stevie Wonder and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would not. All right. You would not survive at all. If it was a dancing contest, honey, you'd be the first one voted off the island.
Yeah.
Serious. I know. I love you to pieces, but seriously.
I know.
Your dancing
they would push me
leaves
into the fire.
A lot to be desired.
All right. So, and also Lena thinks that Peter Pan and Rumpel are brothers, and yeah. I agree.
Yep.
Mr. Brad sends in his 10 things he learned from Nasty Habits. Mm-hmm. I'll read a few, and I'll be posting all this on the show notes, which mm-hmm. is already typed up. I'm so happy.
That's
everything's
great.
All there. All right. So tomorrow's watch read 12:15.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
If you're going to grow up, don't grow up stupid. You know, and it's one of those words where, you know, people don't use it a lot because everyone's afraid of whatever, you know, and it's just like, I'm kind of, you grew up stupid. Wow. Thanks, Felix.
Yes.
You really you build up people. Thanks a lot. Appreciate yep. it. All right. Neil may have learned culinary skills while living in a cave. Well, yeah. Pasta.
Right. Yeah. That's funny.
Night lights. All right. There's a surprising amount of unloved and lost boys in Hamlet. And
right.
That's true. I called it Hamlet.
I know. Well, because a little village is also referred to as a hamlet, but the town's name is Hamelin. Hamelin, yeah. Which sounds similar to Hamlet.
Yeah, I know.
Spelled very differently.
Hamlet's kind of like a ship, though. It's like if you like ham and omelets, it's Hamlet.
Mm.
All right.
Oh, no.
That's all.
Wow.
I know. all right. We'll read number 10. And again, I'm going to post all these in the show notes. And if you listen to it, if you listen to this podcast and you never look at the show notes, that's bad. You need to look at the show notes. There's a lot of really neat stuff
there. There's a lot of little
there.
Nuggets in there, yeah.
Pictures and all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to get better at that. So this one will be really good. So please look at the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. Check them out.
If you listen on an iPod, when you come home, go to your computer, take a look, please. Number 10, Henry is not a very good dancer. And see, he's like me mm-hmm. and the Lost Boys mm-hmm. and those who don't go to watch the taping of Soul Train.
Right.
Right. Awesome. All right. If his favorite quote is, look who's all grown up now and become the dark one. Good for you.
I thought that was pretty dang funny when Pan said that.
What does that line remind you of? I'm going to go off on a tangent. I'm sorry. Just hang in there with us.
I'm sure it might
those
be
Willy Wonka tweets. Those really just snarky.
Oh, snarky.
Oh, man.
Willy Wonka. Yeah, I know which one. I know. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. Condescending Wonka or something like that.
Yes. That's what it reminds me
of. Oh, you've done this? Good for you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Funny stuff.
That is funny, actually.
And just to, you know, let everybody know there's probably adult words here and there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not recommending it for all, but just what came into my head. P.S. My wife's, this is still Brad's email.
Mm-hmm.
P.S. My wife's thoughts on Henry was that he was pretending to hear Pan's flute. I hope he actually heard it though, because I think it makes an interesting twist. Last thought, if dreams can come true in Neverland, could Henry imagine a version of his father? Since dreams are not coming true at this time, it would give Henry the motivation he needs to stop hoping his father is alive or that anyone else is coming after him.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I think about Henry and the whole flute thing and all that. I think he's going to go full in, full bore. He's going to become a lost boy. He's going to believe everything, which is going to make it more difficult when the Neverland Five finally find him.
Right.
Because they're going to say, let's go. And he's going to go, I don't know. I don't know you. I'm not going. I'm interested in staying right here.
Yeah.
Because that would make more drama. If he goes, okay. That's just so.
And again, let's come back to that whole thing. My whole theory on the Pan dagger is he's looking for the heart of the truest believer. Because you need to have somebody who's a true believer in order to keep the island alive. And therefore, if he's trying to retire as the Pan, he's trying to get Henry to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that Henry would become the Pan.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so these are some more Facebook page thoughts at facebook.com/OUAT podcast. These are from Cindy. Mm-hmm. Children only come to Peter's Neverland in their dreams. Would that make Peter the dream catcher? Reminding me of, I think, Tallahassee. Neil once gave Emma a map so they could find a home.
Right.
Now Neil seems to have given her a new map leading to home. But where might that map lead? Enchanted Forest, Storybrooke, Windy, Tallahassee, New York. And that's interesting, too. And, yeah, Neil did have a dream catcher.
Yeah.
Well, there was a dream catcher in the room.
Right, right, right. There was a dream catcher.
But he had one in his apartment in Broken, season two premiere.
Yeah, yeah.
And they used a dream catcher to get the memories out of Pongo.
Right.
So, anyway. A lot of dream catchers. So
right.
Thank
no,
you.
That's a really good point. I mean, you know, the map so they could find a home. And now when Emma, you know, saw that it was a map, it's leading to home. But she's right. Where is that? Where's home?
Yep.
Any number of places it could be.
Great thought, Cindy. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yep.
And we were talking about Lord of the Flies and Survivor, and KTodd1116 on Twitter reminded us that Survivor was based on Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
And I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
So, and on the blog at onceuponatimepodcast.com, Nani gave me a great bit of information. When I looked at Rumpel's face, it reminded me of Native American war paints.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
But she was thinking of the Scottish warriors, like Braveheart, something like that, and that Robert Carlyle would definitely be aware of that custom.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Yep. All righty then.
Aye, Captain. I think we may have some voicemails coming our way.
Well, now they're all over the ship.
Yeah, they are. Collect them quick.
Have to go get them.
Get them up.
We have a new guy that's here helping us clean up. He calls it swipping or something.
Oh. Hmm.
So. Hmm. He's a good swipper.
Yeah.
All right. So let's play this first voicemail.
Hey, everyone. It's Tyler. Got a theory for us on something. So, throughout the season so far, we've noticed Rumpel kind of, you know, he knows about this prophecy that, you know, the boy will be the end of him. And I believe the prophecy stated specifically that the boy would be his undoing. So we know that. Okay. Now, he has said many times already now that he's willing to die to save Henry, you know, to, you know, make things right with Faye. Obviously, now we know that Faye Neal is alive, or, well, he knows it. Emma still doesn't, but that's beside the point. But I'm wondering, do we think it's possible that by the prophecy saying, you know, it will be, you know, Rumpel's undoing, do we think it's at all possible that when she said that, what she meant was that the boy will be the end of the Dark One, not Rumpelstiltskin, but the Dark One's power? As Pan has already stated, Henry is supposed to be the one to save magic. Well, maybe that means no more dark powers. And I wonder if that could maybe mean something for Regina's fate, too. I actually kind of hope this is it, because I don't want to see Robert Carlyle off in the present day. I want to see him still around, because he's awesome. You know, he's an amazing actor, and the Rumpelstiltskin character is great. But this is just something I've been kind of thinking about, especially last night while watching the episode, so I'm curious to see what you guys might think on that. Okay, I'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yes, thank you. I would actually say that while it seems like undoing, I've said this almost from the beginning, is when that prophecy happened, is that doesn't necessarily mean death, because again, you know, words can be sometimes taken multiple ways, and because of that, You can't always trust that it's the first thing you think of. So I do think that there is a possibility that it's not that it's going to kill him. it's even though he's willing to give his life, I don't think he'll have to. I think he will have to give up the Dark One to save Henry, give up being the Dark One. Or here's the other thing. What if his undoing for the Dark One is actually Neil taking over and being the Dark One?
Hmm.
Well, that would be an interesting twist.
Yes. And I think Tyler's actually on the right path with this, mm-hmm. is because I think it is the Dark One power.
Right.
And it's not because the undoing could be the separating of
right.
of Rumple from that power.
Right.
And if I remember right, it's not as easy as just wishing it away.
Nope.
You have to die, but there's probably another way. If they did the double-sided right. candle thing,
right. there's
probably a loophole
somewhere.
So
right.
maybe the Blue Fairy might know. I don't know. I mm-hmm. have no idea. But anyway, great point.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it does. It's interesting that one prophecy could have effects on numbers of people
right,
instead of
exactly.
just one.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, great
yeah.
point.
No, good point.
This is a voicemail from Brad.
It's been a long time, laddies. Well, actually, it's only been a week, but in Neverland, it's been years. Hello, guys. This is Brad calling in for my thoughts on nasty habits. One of the scariest things about being a parent, in my opinion, is realizing that the choices you make and the way you live your life will shape and mold your child into who they will grow up to be. It's interesting to note that Emma is the way she is because she had no parents, but Neil is the way he is because he did have parents, or at least a father. I wonder how it must feel to be the son of the Dark One. I'm sure growing up, they loved his father and was proud of him. But then to see your father change and become so power-hungry that he is no longer the man he used to be would be heartbreaking. What happens when your hero lets you down and you see that something has taken over him? They always believed in his father and never gave up on him, even after all the horrible things he did. Before he became the Dark One, they was the only thing Rumpelstiltskin lived for. He even said without his son, he truly would become dust. But once he had the taste of real power, he loved it as much as he loved his son. He tried to convince Bay that he needed the power, that he could still be the Dark One and a good man at the same time. When Bay told him, I would have chosen you if only you'd asked, you could hear the pain in his voice. But despite everything, they still had enough faith and hope in his father that he found a way they both could be together without the curse of the Dark One. But as he felt his father's grip loosen, he realized that the power was more important and that he wasn't enough. How many kids have had to deal with a situation like this where drugs, alcohol, or some other nasty habit has replaced them? How many times have they heard the words, but I've changed, only to see things go right back to the way they were before? As they grow older, they begin to feel bitter, tired of the lies they've heard their whole life. They've waited so long to feel love that their heart has grown cold. The childlike faith that they once had when they were young is now replaced with skepticism and doubt. This is the place where Neil is. When his father says, trust me, Neil's response is, how can I? Rumpelstiltskin has lived a lifetime of craven self-interest. When all they wanted was love, Rumpelstiltskin tried to give him gifts. Neil doesn't trust his father because the sad truth is he's never given him a reason to. The hurt that Neil feels is all from his father, and the price of power was his only son's trust. The choices and mistakes that Rumpelstiltskin has made have now caught up with him. Hopefully the disappointment on Neil's face is the motivation Rumpelstiltskin needs to fight for Neil's trust, defeat the inner demons that he struggles with, and prove not only to Neil but also to himself that he can be a good man once again. Pretty deep stuff for a show all about fairy tales and magic, wouldn't you say? Take care, guys.
Wow. That's
fantastic.
Thanks again, Brad.
Yeah. Whew. And it is true. I mean, all of what he said, it's very true. Very true.
Yeah. You know, parents have wow, that's deep, yeah.
I don't even think we need to even talk about it, actually, because honestly, I think you said it all.
Yep.
I think you said it all.
Thanks so much for that. All right. Colleen's got to go, so we're going to wrap it up, and then I'll put in...
No. Go ahead. We've got a few more minutes.
All right. Okay. So what I'm going to do is this.
Captain. Is it time for our comedy bit?
It is indeed time for our comedy bit. And this is featuring the fantastic voice acting of Monica Moon. And Marie, my friend from Facebook, helped me connect with Monica. And she read this script twice. She did it once as a pirate and once as just a normal narrator. And she added a little bit at the end that locked it in for me. But she's a great talent. And I want you to enjoy this Storybrooke Pest Control. Here we go.
Are you getting bugged in Storybrooke? No, not by Leroy and Mary Margaret's door-to-door candle sales.
Hi, we're selling candles for Miner's Day.
We're not interested.
We mean really bugged. Are your nerves jumpy by a rampaging giant? Irritated by a wrathful wraith? Getting jumpy about voracious vermin? Ticked off by trolls? Overwrought and overrun by ogres? Upset by an irritable yaogwai? Then Storybrooke Pest Control has what it takes to make your shanty pest-free. Storybrooke Pest Control. We kill the living out of everything.
So called Storybrooke Pest Control. Man, they got everything covered. But you got to be careful because some rats are actually evil queens.
Yes.
So you want to make sure. And some mice are Gus's.
Right.
So we don't kill everything. Storybrooke Pest Control doesn't. Got to be careful.
Yes, you have to be very careful.
Have to have Rumples say, not that one. That's an evil queen. I can tell. All right. So thanks so much for listening, downloading, however you got to us. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it. And thanks again to Monica Moon for that. And you can find more about her at our website at mjmoon.com. And we're going to have links and all in the show notes. Remember, good pirates always tweet when they listen to our podcast. They do, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's I'm listening to at OUAT podcast, hashtag main show, when I can't hear Pan's flute, or even when I can, whatever you want to tweet is fine with me. But it's just nice because it's working, and folks that are on your timeline learn about us, and they start listening, and on and on. And
yep.
I retweet it from where I am. So thanks again for mentioning us on Twitter, Facebook, forums. You're letting people know about us, and we get new listeners all the time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And tomorrow's episode is good form, and it's a pirate episode.
I know.
And it's about Hook. Our main man, Hook.
Yay.
So we're going to get hooked all over again tomorrow. Oh,
yes, we will.
So remember to subscribe iTunes.onceuponatimepodcast. If you're not subscribed, you don't want to miss any episodes that are coming. And I'm sending big love out to all of you. And just remember, big love is so big, you can't keep it all. So take what you need, pass it on to somebody else, because we all need it.
Yep.
And that's it. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. And we will talk to you soon. See you guys.
Bye.
Well, mates, thank ye for joining us for the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This be a Roni's Own Media production. We want to hear from you. Our website be onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our email be feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our voicemail line be 657-333-0626. So tell other oncers that this be the place to be. until we sail again, big love to you all, and we'll see ye later. With me, good eye, of course.